Faithfulness. That's one of the characteristics of the Lord God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are faithful. That's what the scripture says. So let's ask the Lord to bless the message today. Okay? Father, we thank you and praise you for your precious word. We praise you for the singing, Father. Oh, rejoicing in you for what you are, what you are doing in our lives all the time, working good things, working things in our lives. We praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that you will just bring this message through today, Father. Great help to all of us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness is a very important thing. And the scripture teaches so much about God's character and about God's faithfulness. He never has been unfaithful. Isn't that something? God, the scripture says, God is love. And with him is no darkness at all. He's always a faithful God. Sometimes we pray for something and it doesn't happen, you know. And we think, well, where is God? Why did he not do that? Why didn't he answer my prayer? He has reasons. He has good reasons. And he's a faithful God. So he's working up there. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bible to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And we're going to just read some scripture that pertained to Israel, but it pertains to us also. Deuteronomy, the first of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, praise the Lord, chapter 7. And this is what the Lord, through speaking through Moses, was talking to the children of Israel. But it's such a good portion of scripture just to think about all of the things that it says about our God who is so faithful. Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now he's talking about Israel. But I'm going to tell you, and you know this, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're joined to a group of very peculiar people. And peculiar, we use that word, don't we? But we say, so-and-so is really peculiar. But that's not what this means right here where it says, chosen thee to be a special people. The word is peculiar, but it means separated to the Lord. And so he is working in our lives today, just as he did in Israel. So we're just going to look at these beautiful things. Thou art a holy people. How do we get holy? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have received the Lord as our Savior, and we have a new life. That is the life of Jesus that dwells in us. And praise the Lord. It's a chosen place. And a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And that really speaks of all the believers in Christ and the whole face of the earth. Isn't that something? We don't know how many there are. I hear a lot lately about the people of God that are being persecuted in foreign lands. And it really... oh, that hurts me. I just cry out, oh God, help them, because they are taking people that are Christians out of different places. In Pakistan, even, we saw a news report about the leader of Pakistan that's about to be thrown out of office, and I thought, Lord, throw him out. He's because they're persecuting and tearing down the churches there. And, you know, just awful things. But the Lord looks at us as a special people, his own people. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. That's Israel. Israel was a very small group and still is. But the Lord loved them. The Lord loves us. We may be little in number here at this meeting, but God loves us greatly. It says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and he has redeemed you out of the house of bondmen. We know that applied to Israel because they were slaves down in Egypt, but God delivered them out of that from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, and he is the faithful God. That's what I'm trying to get at. Clear down to this verse. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Faithful. Faithful. How important. The Hebrew word here in the Old Testament means build up, to support, to be permanent, to be morally be true or certain, to be faithful of long continuance, to be steadfast, to be sure. And one of the last meetings as a nursing father. We don't think about a nursing father, do we? Think about a nursing mother feeding the child. But how wonderful to have a heavenly father like our heavenly father who is so faithful to us. I can tell you in my lifetime, the Lord has been so faithful to me. Through thick and thin, through trials of great, great things that happened in my childhood, all the kinds of things that God has led me through, he has been so faithful to me. In Isaiah 49:7, it says, the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, shall choose thee, because the Lord that is faithful shall choose thee. The Lord is faithful. You know that he chooses each one of us. He chose us to be his child. And he convicted us that we needed Jesus in our life. We needed to be born again, saved. And that's how he chose us. And then how faithful he has been to us. I praise God for his faithfulness to me over the years. Over the years. God's very nature is the God of love. A lot of people look at God as being this old meanie up there, you know, that's going to zap us if we don't watch out. He allows trials because he loves us and he wants to work in us. But he loves us greatly. His love is so great. 1 John 4:8, God is love. That means his nature is love. He isn't a nature of meanness and grief and all the things that people think of God. But his nature is love, and his love never fails. It says there in 1 John 4:8. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're thinking about God's faithfulness. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians. Our group of people in our meetings, and I think I've always used our Bibles, looking up the scripture, making sure that everybody here can see it in the Word of God. You can see that. I went, as I mentioned, I think before to you, I went to a church that was a very formal church. And when I was a young girl with my aunt, she went to that church. And I had my Bible in my hand. She said, oh, don't take that Bible in. The pastor will think you're trying to check on him. Don't take it in. So isn't that a weird thing? That was how she thought about things. I took it in anyway. I wasn't a very obedient teenager. I took it in. But then I was sitting in the Sunday school class, and you know what they discussed? The swimming party they just had. There was no scripture. There was no word preached. It was shocking to me because I never had been in a church that ever, you know, acted like that. It's just amazing. So, hallelujah. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I love the Lord God who is faithful. Here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 is where we're going to read. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants your fellowship. So what does he do? He gives you a new life so that you have the life of Christ in you And as you just yield your life and you walk with the Lord, you just feel that presence. And he's with you. He's with you. He's guarding you. He's taking care of you. He is faithful. Hallelujah. And it says he's called us into fellowship. And that means joining together with the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. Just, you know, we want to please God. We want to please Jesus. Lord, is this your will for me? Is this what I should be doing? Am I yielding to God? I want to be yielding completely to God. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's turn on over now in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read a little bit more here. In chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Now, what does that say to us? We all have temptations to do wrong things because we have an old nature. And that's how we're born. We have, those of us that are born again, know Jesus as our Savior, we have a new nature. We have a new life. But sometimes temptation falls into our path, and we don't always walk with God as we should as believers in Christ. But notice, but such as is common to man, this type of temptation. But it says God is faithful. He has promised us eternal life. If we believe in him, we are saved eternally. And so God is so faithful to us. In the Greek, here in the New Testament, we're in Greek. You can't tell that, but that's what it was written in to begin with. And now it's been translated into Old English, most of it. Okay, so anyway, that word faithful there means God is trustworthy. You can put your trust in God and know that he's going to do it. He's going to take care of us. We are his children. It also means true. And it, for example, he keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. What is our part? Our part is to believe. Believe. And Satan will fight us all the time with things to try to make us doubt God. Well, where is God? Why is he not helping me? All of the things that Satan is a liar. He can't tell the truth. So he's going to lie to us and try to defeat us. But our God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Amplified Version, which I like to read sometimes, I don't like it fully, but it says, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold of you that is not common to man." Every one of us has been tempted to do all kinds of things. We'd like to think not, but this is the truth. The devil will tempt us to do wrong things. But our Lord is faithful. So it says, anything that it leads has overtaken you and laid hold of you that is not common to man, that no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to the human experience. So that's that Bible thing explaining the scripture. But it is so true what it's saying. But he says, but God is faithful. And it added in there to his word and to his compassionate nature. And that is true. Our God is love. That's his nature. God is love. God is faithful. If he wasn't that, he would have just said to Adam and Eve, go on. You've failed. I'm not going to do a thing for you. I gave you a chance. Look here what you're doing. He didn't show that. Wasn't that amazing? They suffered consequence. They had to be expelled from the Garden of Eden. But he was right there with them and helping them all along. God is so faithful. I can't say that enough, because in my life, the trials and the tests that God allows, sometimes you just think, how can I stand that? But God is faithful. I keep saying that over and over. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful. Apostle Paul, he loved to say that, didn't he? Because he knew what our Lord was. The Lord was always faithful to him. And even though it looked horrible, even when he was beheaded, he knew that God was to be faithful. God was taking him to heaven. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. See how faithful God is? We fail God. We may walk in our flesh and do bad things, but God is always working. God is always trying to help us. He's so faithful, trying to establish us in the Word of God and help us to change and be different and walk as Christians. Praise the Lord. So he wants us to be faithful. That's what he's wanting in our life. He wants us to be faithful. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16. When I was a young person in the Lord and going to youth meetings and things, we always had what they call scripture scramble. So they'd give us a scripture, and then we had to look it up real fast, and the person that found it first would stand up and read it. So I'm not requiring of that of you this morning, but we are kind of doing a scripture scramble, aren't we? In chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word dwell there in the Greek is permeate. Everybody here knows what permeate means, I think. You put something on your hair that's colored, it's going to permeate. It's going to go into your hair. It's going to change. That's what the Lord wants for himself, to be permeated into us, where we please God, where we walk with God, where we yield to God. He wants to dwell in us. See, just he is in us, but he wants to just have it like a home. He's living there. He's taking care of us in you richly, in all of these things, in wisdom, and all of us need wisdom. We're learning all the time to walk in wisdom, choose the things that are right in God's sight, in teaching. So we need teaching. That's why God has provided us with teachers that can lead us into the truth and guide our lives. And admonishing, yes. Sometimes it takes that, where somebody is needing help and we can go to them and say, you know what? God wants you to do so-and-so. Let's walk with God. Let's yield to God. It's going to be good. Dwelling in you, this teaching and admonition, one another in psalms, we're to do that for one another, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making great, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let this word of Christ dwell in you richly. He will inhabit you. The word dwell means to inhabit you. And of course, if you're born again, he is there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He inhabits us as occupying a house is what that means in Greek. You are the child of God. He lives in you. And he doesn't go away. Praise the Lord. Being born of the Spirit, the new birth of Christ. Christ in you as you yield to Christ. Let him work on you, your life, and bring you to a person who loves the Lord and is faithful and walks with God. So we become a new person with that life of Christ. And as we yield to that new life, what happens? Some things start happening. Changes come. Things that we didn't like before, now we like because we love them, because they're things of God. Changes take place. Praise the Lord. The characteristics of Christ come into our life. And we realize this is what the Lord wants of me. The Lord Jesus wants of me to yield my life, to walk with God, to be faithful to him. Hallelujah. Right here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Let's read that. He's talking about Jesus here, and he's talking about us as followers of Jesus. And he says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. See, Gentiles are all the people that aren't Jews, okay? So God tried to get the Jews to follow him in all ways and follow Jesus and walk with Jesus and recognize he was Messiah, but they didn't. They helped to crucify him. And so he then had to turn and give the riches of the glory of this mystery to the Gentiles, and he did that. That was all in the plan. He never is surprised. And it says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. The Christ being in us is the hope of glory. We don't have any hope to be in glory if it isn't for Christ, for his life that is in us now. We are born again. We belong to the Lord. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. He's a liar. He will always try to make us feel guilty and try to defeat us, but we are not defeated in Christ. He loves us. And he is working in us. Hallelujah. When Christ is in us, the Almighty is in us. Isn't that amazing? The Almighty. Praise the Lord. He's the Son of the living God, the Almighty. We kind of limit God, don't we? We think, okay, Jesus is in me, but, you know, he's the Son of God. No. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he is powerful and majestic, and he is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Here in this place, it talks about how that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, in God's estimation, we died at the cross. Our sins were put there on the cross with Jesus. And so Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I didn't have to go to the cross. I didn't have to have my hands pierced and my side riven open and the blood poured out like it happened to Jesus. But praise the Lord, in God's sight, I died with Christ. And I am alive because my Lord and Savior rose from the dead and made me a new creation in Christ Jesus, as well as you who know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is alive in us. Isn't this beautiful? It's one of my favorite scriptures. Sometimes we feel so hopeless and so helpless and we need help and we don't realize Christ is in us. We need to call out to him and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Let that new life of Christ come in and work in our life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How do we get faith? The Bible tells us that, doesn't it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're lacking faith, it's because we're not reading the Word. We're not coming to meeting where we can hear the Word. We need to be where we can hear the Word regularly, and we need to be reading it at home. Praise the Lord. It grows. It causes our faith to grow, as it says here, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Oh, the love of Jesus stayed on the cross. He could have just said, enough this, I'm not doing this. He could have done that. He was the Son of God. He had all power in heaven and earth, but he stayed on the cross. He loved us so much, and he gave himself for me. He gave himself, Paul talking, for me. He's talking about himself, but we can put our name there. Me, Anita, me, your name. Jesus did this for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus did it for us. How precious. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is so faithful. the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Faithfulness will come forth in our lives as we walk with God and grow, becoming spiritually mature. God wants that characteristic in our life, that we are faithful to Him because He is so faithful to us. And once we have that life of Christ in us, one of the characteristics of Jesus Christ is that faithfulness. Always there to meet our needs, always. And so what it speaks to us is that if we allow ourselves to take of Christ and be faithful, it's the Christ life in me that's working in me to make me faithful, like it is you. It isn't your decree. It isn't you saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be faithful. That will work. You'll find it just doesn't work. And God wants, to work that faithfulness. He wants to work that faithfulness in us. So praise the Lord. We walk with God and we grow and we become spiritually mature. A process that has to take place. In the New Testament, faithfulness means trustworthiness. It means sure, something that is sure and something that is true. So faithfulness in our life comes from the life of Christ that is in us. It's not enough for us to just say, okay, I'm going to be faithful. From now, I'm going to do the right thing now. I'm going to list all the things I'm going to do, and so that's what I'm going to do. It isn't that way at all. It's by yielding completely to the Lord, letting Him work that faithfulness in our lives. Praise the Lord. It's manifested in many ways when we come to that point where we want the faithfulness of God to be manifested in our lives, always obedient to God and to the truth. The first thing I think we need to do is to see Jesus in us. Jesus Christ is in us, because it's not me, it's not you, it's the Lord working in our life. And we have to see, I am weak, but you are strong, and I want you to work in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Following God's word is another big thing to really become faithful in the Lord. If you never read the Bible and you don't go to church or you don't yield to the Lord, then you don't have much knowledge of what God really wants. But if you take some time to read the Word of God at home and pray and then come to the meetings and hear the Word of God being taught, pretty soon you'll be established in the Word of God. And that Word of God is what's going to keep you. What did Jesus do when He was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? He quoted the Scripture. That's what we have to do, too. And sometimes if we don't know the Scripture, then what are we going to do? See, so the Holy Spirit reveals things to help us along, but praise the Lord. Following God's word is so important, what it tells us to do, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as Paul says, as the manner of some is. Praise the Lord. So God is so faithful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a great reward for being faithful to God. You know that? Most of you know that. There is a great reward for being faithful to God. It's not just something inward that, you know, God's going to put there and so it's going to get there because God's going to do that. It's also an outward evidence that each of our lives are yielded. When we yield our lives to the Lord, there's going to be something takes place in our life. We're going to start walking with the Lord and yielding to the Lord and being faithful to God. And that is so important. Praise the Lord. And one of the things that happens, too, is that we start watching for the Lord to come. We want Him to come so much. And it grows on us. It grows on us to realize this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's just not my home. My home is in heaven, and one of these days, we're going to be there with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? He wants us to realize about being faithful to God, because he is faithful to us, and he always has our good in mind. He always has, how can I help him? What can I do? Hallelujah. Of course, he doesn't have to think about it. Faithfulness is an outward expression in our lives of who we are. It's a neat thing to say, so-and-so is really faithful to the Lord. See, it's a trait, a spiritual trait of growth in the individual's life for us to have an outward expression that other people can see, that God is working in that person. That's what we want. And it's in obedience to the Word of God. This is obedience, to be obedient. And saints, as I tell you about every time I get up here, I think, but I'm telling you, Christ is going to come soon. He's going to come very, very soon. And he is going to be so happy to have all of those to be taken together with him that are letting him work in their lives, and they're waiting for the coming of Jesus, and they're rejoicing that he's going to come and all of those things. Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.